I also have Eric Zacharias talking about the Mediterranean diet. Eric recently had a book published called The Mediterranean Diet. He is the Department of Internal Medicine chair at Boulder Medical Center, and he is also on the faculty of the University of Colorado School of Medicine. We're incredibly honored to have him, and I went to look at his book on Amazon, and it has 5-star reviews, so I might order it.
So let me just start with where society is now and why I like a Mediterranean diet. You know, we've been liberated essentially from fear of starvation. That's no longer the principal concern of human beings. You know, liberated from the fear of death at an early age from infectious diseases. So now we're challenged by diseases of the first world, ubiquitous food, much of which is calorie dense, nutrient poor, filling, and terrible for us. And you know, there are many options to work and to improve this dietary pattern, but one of which I think has tremendous science to support some of its constructs is a Mediterranean diet. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the historical development of this diet as well as how it's actually defined in scientific practice, because I think almost everybody has a vague notion of what a Mediterranean diet is, but I suspect very few people actually understand how it's defined and quantified in clinical studies for scientifically valid comparison. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit, but I'm not going to torture you with too much statistics. So in the 1940s and 1950s, Ansel Keys, who was a nutrition researcher from Harvard, was in the Mediterranean countries doing research for a study, the Seven Countries Studies, looking at different health and lifestyle habits to see how they affected different populations throughout the world. And one of the key observations, and one of the early observations that he made, was that there was a marked difference in health outcomes between populations in Northern and Southern Europe, specifically in cardiovascular disease. Now, the Southern Europeans obtained over 35% of their dietary calories from fats, as did the Northern Europeans, around 35%. But so 38, a little bit more in the Southern Europeans. So why are these people who are eating so many fats not dying of vascular disease? And what he determined was that they eat a lot of fat, but it's monounsaturated plant-based fats, chiefly from olive oil, whereas in Northern Europeans was chiefly saturated fat from animal sources. And he postulated that this was having a significant effect on this fivefold difference in vascular disease between Northern and Southern Europeans. And I've also told other audiences also why there's a fivefold greater misery living up in Finland during the winter than there is being on the Mediterranean coast. It's a lot nicer to be down south. So, you know, so this catalyzed other nutrition researchers to look at, you know, different components in the food. I mean, we eat an entire diet. We don't just eat individual foods or nutrients. So, okay, so the plant fats are good. What else might be out there? And over time, multiple nutrients were identified that had to have a favorable impact on health outcomes. And this consumption of favorable foods, this pattern, which was originally observed, or at least the start of this pattern, by Ansel Keys in the 1940s and 50s, because it started in the Mediterranean area, became known as the Mediterranean diet. All right, so that's really how the diet originated. And you know, after decades of refinement in 1993, there was an international conference on diets of the Mediterranean where they actually sought to qualitatively define what a Mediterranean diet is. So I'm going to read to you an abbreviated version, but it's going to have everything that's in the diet. So this is actually what a Mediterranean diet is from a qualitative standpoint. It's a high intake of plant foods that are minimally processed, including vegetables, fruits, unrefined grains, beans, legumes, nuts, and seeds. Olive oil is a primary source of dietary fat. There's a low intake of dairy, and that dairy is chiefly consumed as yogurt or cheese. There's a low intake of poultry and very low or no intake of red meat and processed meat products. Less than 4 egg yolks per week, infrequent concentrated sweets, weekly or greater consumption of fish, and low to moderate daily consumption of alcohol with meals. And, you know, I detail this in my book and in a host of other clinical sources you can find. And actually, the book's it's at the Boulder Public Library, so you can check it out. You don't have to purchase a book, although I'd be delighted to sell you one. And I brought a few. So there were initially dozens, and now there are hundreds of studies published annually which look at this dietary pattern to see what the effects are on health outcome and on health outcomes. And what we know is from these studies, the people who consume a pattern that more closely resembles what I described have a reduction in essentially every disease they don't want, and progression of longevity. And you know, one of the fascinating things to me is that, and I'll describe this in more detail in a minute, is that no single individual category seems to be the most important. I think it's the totality of what one eats. And I'm going to disabuse you of the notion that there's such a thing as a superfood, or at least I hope I do a little bit. We eat an entire diet, and that's how we should think about what we eat. What is the mechanism of action of diet? Why does a Mediterranean diet improve these health outcomes? There are really two things that diet does. And number one, and this is what everybody thinks of when they think of a diet, it's the direct active effects of the component substrates within the food you're consuming. There's something in there. This is a conceptualization, right? This is a simplification. But something in there at the molecular, cellular, subcellular, tissue, organ system, whole organism level that the body likes, that does something favorable, promotes repair of damaged tissues, promotes repair of mutagenesis within the DNA, does something that the body likes. So that's an active way to conceptualize what diet does, which is good to think about, but it's bad because it leads to the fool's errand of, you know, what is that one superfood? Is it the acai berry? And that's kind of a food trend now, which just supplanted the pomegranate, which just supplanted the blueberry, which just supplanted the red one. I don't know what the new one's going to be. There is going to be a new one. Bet the house, and we're all going to go, you know, someone's going to think, oh my God, it's, you fill in the blank. It's probably not harmful for you to consume whatever that new superfood is. It's not going to compensate for everything else. You eat an entire diet. You don't eat just one supernutrient. That's not how the body works. So that's concept one. Concept two is what diet does is avoidance. What you eat does not interfere with what your body wants to do, which is take care of itself. Your body has an intrinsic self-repair mechanism. It wants to live a long time. And so what you're doing is essentially allowing your body to do what it's designed to do, which is take care of itself and repair itself. You're not overloading it with the unfavorable substrates, the high sugars, the highly processed foods, you know, promotion of atherogenic, inflammatory, oxidative, and other stresses within the body. Basically, your diet is staying out of the way of what your body wants to do anyway. And that's, you know, in reality, both of these have to be important, but most people don't think about that second idea. And, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but a lot of what I think the advantage of really healthful diets and the other diets which we talked about are great for you, I'm not so sure it's just an active mechanism within those diets. It's just that they really have you not eat some of the food, you know, process of modernity. We've developed these foods which are filling, they're dirt cheap, and they're terrible for us. That makes sense? Everybody get that? Good. I just wrote that out the other day. I thought it was pretty clever. So now the question is, you know, what are the health outcomes from a Mediterranean diet? And I can define this in more detail later if people have questions, and I'll be around afterwards to discuss this with anybody who wants to hear me talk about it, because it's one of my favorite topics. But the studies have shown significant mortality reduction, depending on the duration of the study, but up to a 60% mortality reduction in people who are highly adherent to this pattern of diet versus who don't eat this pattern of diet. And for other specific diseases, as one's diet becomes more Mediterranean, and that doesn't mean it has to be Mediterraneanly ethnic food. Remember those food categories and how I describe those, they don't necessarily have to be prepared as one might find in the Mediterranean. They can be prepared in any style of food. But cardiovascular disease, up to 80% reduction, Alzheimer's, 54% reduction, Parkinson's disease, 46% reduction, cancer, 77% reduction, immunologically mediated conditions, allergies, arthritis, inflammatory conditions, 78% reduction. It's an anti-inflammatory diet. Diabetes, 83%. So pretty significant health outcomes shown in the medical literature for people who are adherent to a Mediterranean diet. And the final point I want to make is diet for weight loss and weight control. Does anybody know where I'm from, where I grew up, where I went to school for undergraduate? The first to cross 30% obesity. Okay? That's right. I weigh 155 pounds now. When I graduated from medical school, I went to Vanderbilt for medical school, but I went undergraduate in Mississippi 5, and I've lost 50 pounds, and a lot of the tells us, as long as you strike that balance. So something that you like, enjoy, find a dietary pattern that you like. So now, Mediterranean diet, I think you'll have some understanding of not only how the diet originated, but how it's defined in clinical studies, its current use in the medical literature, and understand that high adherence to a Mediterranean diet can lead to or help you obtain a lean body habit, prevention and reduction of about every disease you do not want, and increase your longevity. So if someone says, what's a great diet for my health that I might like, I would suggest the Mediterranean diet is a good option. Thank you.